Good morning, honorable members and Team DST led by Able the DG, Dr. Mdjwakha. You're most welcome to this meeting where you'll be presenting to us your APPs. My name is Lindo Maseva, I'm the chairperson of the committee. I'll ask members of the committee to just introduce themselves and then the department, and then we can give it to you, DG, for the presentation.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Kassel Matale, committee member.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Maisela Gigana, committee member from the ANC.
Good morning. My name is Nick Kuerno, committee member.
Good morning, I'm Mike Musa from the committee.
Good morning, Chantal King from the committee.
Good morning, Mabuzi from the committee.
Good morning, my name is Yonita Blanche, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Annelie Lopriet, also a member of the committee.
DG.
Good morning. Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. My name is Phil Mdjwakha from the Department of Science and Technology. I'll ask my colleagues to introduce themselves, Honourable Chairperson.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and members. My name is Tommy Makore. I'm DDG for Institutional Planning and Support at the DST.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Priti Makukule, Chief Financial Officer at DST. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Bonini Mose, DDG for Technology Innovation from DST.
Morning, Honourable Chair and Members. My name is Vito Matutu, acting as DDG for Research Development in Stockholm.
My name is Jonas Seleti. Director of Science Missions.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. My name is Neville Arita, acting DDG ITR, International Cooperation and Resources.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Nonhlanhla Mkhize, Chief Director responsible for Innovation for Inclusive Development.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Nomkhosi Peter, Director of Strategy and Planning.
Good morning, Chair Members. My name is Leander Franz, PLO in the Ministry.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Martin Mulcahy, Special Advisor to the Minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. DG, we all ears to listen to the APPs. We've had oversight visits to some of the entities and projects, and we're very excited. I think this is one department where theory doesn't make sense. You have to physically go there and see what we're talking about, and so that then you understand better. And I think also it gave us a better sense of resources needed for some of those entities. But it's over to you for the presentation. Oh, I just want to also give the apology from the minister who is not who's out of the country. She's in Tanzania for the bi-national commission between South Africa and Tanzania. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chair. So we've had your opening remarks. My ears are not working well these days. All I heard you saying is that we need more resources.
I like what your ear hears.
Okay.
That is true.
So, what we'd like to do, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, just to share with you the planning context for this APP. And then we'll go through the strategic overview where we just want to highlight the key areas of focus for this year, and then we would like to provide program performance information, and the budget, and links to other plans and the. Budget cuts and their implications. We thought we should alert the committee on this, and then we'll conclude. So, in developing this APP, the planning context requires that we look at the National Treasury Framework for APP and Strategy Plan. And then we looked at the National Development Plan because it is the guiding document. Which has already been translated into the MDSF document. And then we looked at the 9-point plan, and we just remind the committee what the 9-point plan is, and I apologize. We thought about this last night, so we have a slide just to remind the committee members. And then we also use the Management Performance Assessment Tool Standards, which the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation is using to measure the performance of government departments, and uses this as guidelines to the things that we should just do well as government departments. And then, of course, we ensure that our APP is aligned with other documents, particular alignment to our strategic plan, the E&E allocation, and then, of course, making sure that this plan is aligned to that. So, the planning cycle was undertaken, as I say, with the following issues for consideration, that this is year three of strategic plan implementation, and then the ramp up in performance is anticipated in some of the areas if we are to attain the 2020 targets. And then, of course, we are going to alert the committee on some of the implications of the budget cuts that we are receiving from Treasury. Also, in particular, the implications of the HR resources that are needed for the implementation of the strategy and the APP. So this slide does not appear on your list, but we thought we would just remind the committee members, Honorable Chair, on what are the this 9-point plan all about. So it's got job drivers, and they're indicated on the left-hand side of the presentation. So this includes oceans economy, high impact IPEP, revitalizing agriculture and agro-processing value chains, advancing beneficiation and unlocking small medium enterprises, cooperatives and rural enterprises. And then there are three enablers: that's resolving the energy challenge, mediating workplace conflict and crowding in the private sector. And then there are cross-cutters that have been identified in science and technology is one of them. Transport infrastructure, water sanitation, broadband rollout, and state-owned company response. So just to indicate that the Department of Science and Technology has been given the responsibility for a couple of areas in the 9-point plan, but also ensuring that we support some of the job drivers and the enablers as well. So we had to take this into account in our planning cycle. And then, we also have taken into account that there is a traction then on the implementation of this government 9-point plan, and we continue to look at how we can support it. And then we've also been invited as the Department of Science and Technology to participate in a number, if not all, of the operation participation processes that are run by the Department again on performance monitoring and evaluation. And there are a number of recommendations that came out of these processes and recommend that the Department of Science and Technology plays an important role. For instance, in the mining PAGISA, we were asked to start developing mining R&D in support of the mining activities in South Africa. And then on the education ICT PAGISA, we've been asked to look at the two pilots that we are rolling out. The one at Kofi Baba for the ICT for education, and the one that we recently launched in the Kisiki Sabatembo in the East. And then a number of policy initiatives, of course, are underway. we are still working on the draft white paper, and at an appropriate time we'll present this white paper to this committee. And then there's also a review which I think now has been completed that looks at the science and technology innovation institutional landscape. So these are some of the things then that have informed our APP. So the National Development Plan is in three phases, and its contribution has been integrated, and then of course we also, as indicated, look at the medium-term strategic framework, which is the first phase of the MTP implementation. And then we've also had to take into account that because the strategic plan is 2015-2020, that all the targets are now also included up to the end of March 2020. I think the previous one was up to 2019, so we've amended that as well as per the guidance of the Auditor General's Office. So the second slide that we have not included in your pack is these three phases that are articulated in the National Development Plan. We had presented these, Honourable Chair, to you before, but we thought we should just remind you that in phase one we are expected to use knowledge for efficiency gains in the economy, and we are working at how we can then support some of the key sectors that are in the 9-point plan in order to achieve this. And then we are expected in the second phase to look at how we can industrialize and enhance industrialization through knowledge, which would be the second phase. So we are, of course, preparing for the second phase so that we don't start from scratch after 2019. And then the third phase is the knowledge-based economy, where we hope to increase the number of high-tech industries, increase in post-exports through the work that we do, and where we can to commercialize indigenous technology. So we are working on these areas as well. And again, these three slides are not on your presentation, but we hope to make them available. So the five programs of the department, I think the committee is familiar with them: administration, technology innovation, international cooperation and resources, research development support, and then socio-economic innovation partnerships. And then the strategic outcome-oriented goals, the first one is to have a responsive, coordinated, and efficient national system of innovation. And then the second one is to increase the knowledge generation, human capital development, strategic outcome-oriented goal 3. And then 4 is using knowledge for economic development. And then the last one is to use knowledge for inclusive development. These are the three vision, mission, and values. Again, we have shared this with the committee for vision. Have an increased well-being and prosperity through science, technology, and innovation. And the mission will do this, therefore, by providing leadership, enabling environment and resources for science and technology and innovation in support of South Africa's development. So we have prioritized the following initiatives for the 17-18 over and above the other areas of work that are in line with the strategic-oriented outcome goals. We were requested through the support of the 9-point plan to establish a sovereign innovation fund. This is meant, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, to be a public-private partnership that would assist in the stimulation or in the acceleration of the commercialization of ideas from research into products. We've had discussions with the Department of Trade and Industry and Economic Development, and broadly they are supportive of this Sovereign Innovation Fund. And the process now is to agree with Treasury what the amount would be that the public would use to get co-investment from the private sector and other institutions that have an interest in this. The second area which we are prioritizing is the expansion of the Sector Innovation Fund. I'm sure we have briefed the colleagues on the number of sector innovation funds that we have developed to try and identify innovations that are needed by certain sectors so that they can enhance their economic competitiveness. We were requested again through the 9-point plan, Mahota, that we should find a way of expanding the sector innovation fund, because government feels that this is the way to ensure that we have economic competitiveness for some of the sectors that have been prioritized. We will be reviewing the intellectual property rights from Publicly Financed Research and Development Act. This is an act of 2008, if I'm not mistaken. So we just want to see whether it's helping us to achieve what it was intended, which is mainly to make sure that intellectual property that is financed from public finance is protected appropriately, and that commercialization, where it makes sense, has been done. So we'll be conducting a review. We've had a successful process of this Hydrogen South Africa program, and we are now looking at the possibility of expanding the program because we think that it's now ready for expansion, both in South Africa, rolling out some of these hydrogen fuel cells, and maybe if the portfolio committee would allow at the end, we could ask Mr. Moofe to share some of the plans that we are having for the rollout of the hydrogen and fuel cells in the Northwest Province, as well as the study that we've just conducted to look at how we can begin to get into the international value chain of hydrogen and fuel cell work in this so we are prioritizing this as well. We are also hopefully going to finalize the Innovation for Inclusive Development Strategy. This is really to ensure that the public infrastructure that is available, whether it's technology stations or the tech localization program, is supportive of the grassroots innovator. Yesterday we were very, very excited to get on the news, the Finance 24, that one of our innovators in this grassroots program has been able to develop a CNC machine which is 60,000 rand cheaper than what you would get in the market. Again, with the permission of the chair, we would be very happy to share this sort of emerging story about how these initiatives are beginning to get grassroots innovators to benefit from the work that we do. So those are the five areas, but we've also, as we have indicated, prioritized the finalization of the white paper and the Science and Technology Innovation Institutional Landscape Review. And then we are not taking our eye off the ball on ensuring that the 64 million grant antenna are commissioned by the end of March 2018. So if we now go into the APP, there are 49 indicators in the APP, and this slide shows a breakdown of the program. And this is a slide that shows that over 3 years we have been constantly looking at the indicators, and we, as you see with the green bar graphs, have fewer indicators this year, and the reason for that is that some of the indicators that we had on our APP have now been sent, or they are now part of the operational plans, which we do not present to the committee, but this was through the advice of the Auditor General's office, as well as the planning structures within government. So the fact that we have fewer doesn't mean that we're doing less work, but it's just how we formulate the targets, and then it shows how this process is unfolding for each of the programs of the Department of Science and Technology. So if we then go into the program performance information, what we did in the slides is we have the 5-year target, and then we also have 16 and 17 which is the previous year. And this year is just for the members to get a sense of where we're coming from. So for the public entities annual plans, we are committed to ensuring that these documents are signed off on time. And then the vacancy rate, we are trying to retain it at 6%, but because of the budget cuts, we are trying our level best not to exceed 10% in the 2017-2018. The reason is really because of the budget. And then we have included the combined assurance annual report on the status of combined assurance presented. This is a process, maybe if I could spend a few minutes, which we are expected to have in the department to make sure that the risks as well as the audit committee have different ways of making sure that the internal controls are in the department. and therefore we are extremely delighted that we have been one of the first few departments that have been able to implement this combined assurance model to make sure that we have early warnings if there are internal controls that are not being followed in the department. But again, at a later stage, if the chair would allow a further explanation, I could ask Mr. Tolu Makode to oversee this program to spend a bit more time on this. Number of media articles written, again, we have a target of 104. There are the two numbers for 16, 17, and 17, 18. Public participation programs that are held, we've already had 20. I think what we haven't included here is we don't have the 15, 16 targets, so maybe it's more than that. And we are still committed to have a clean audit opinion of no financial matters in this financial year. The CFO is here to testify how we're going to do this. Now, under technology innovation, these are the number of activities that are funded in support of knowledge utilization in the areas of space, the areas of bioeconomy and other areas that are in this area. So again, you can see the number of instruments that we use to fund these initiatives, the number of knowledge outputs that are coming out of the program, articles, publications, and conference papers. The numbers are creeping up to the 683 target. Number of policy directives in designated areas where we use knowledge to support decision making for economic sectors. And then the number of disclosures, we're tracking this because we'd like to know whether the Public Finance Act and the Offices of Technology Transfer are giving us ideas that could be commercialized. Again, we are seeing the numbers are slowly coming up, and the number of recommendations for decision support by government at the regulatory level. The number of trainees that attend training initiatives in designated areas, such as the attendance of the World Intellectual Property Office Summer School, the numbers are there, we think we meet the target. And then the number of knowledge products that are funded in designated areas, again, you can see the numbers there. Commercial outputs, such as products, services, and companies. So this is the portfolio of the Technology Innovation Agency in particular. And then the number of decision support initiatives developed or maintained. So these are the ones where, for instance, we would have science and technology to support the activities in the Department of Health, and the number of postgraduate students that are supported in this program. In the international cooperation and resources where we try and attract funding from the board, we are happy with the amount that we are getting every year, and in particular this year, a slight increase because this has been a little bit of a challenge after the 2008 financial crisis. And then the amount of funds that are invested by international partners, again, we think we meet the target. And the number of South African students accepted in international training programs, we're seeing a good ramp up from 150 to 250 this year. And then the number of international partner organizations that are collaborating with South African partners, again, we're seeing a good increase from 450 to 500. Number of dedicated international technical exchanges that happen between us and the partners, again, we're seeing a good increase. Number of research, innovation, and science, technology, and innovation, human capital development projects that we cooperate between the DST and our entities with at least other partner countries in the continent. We are very, very happy with the increase that we see. And then the amount of international funds that are directly invested in African regional and continental research and innovation programs and infrastructure. So again, as part of our partnership with the rest of the continent, the numbers are looking okay. Number of AU and SADC science, technology, and innovation initiatives that are supported, again, we have good numbers, and the number of decisions that are made at international forums, still we are on track. The number of leadership positions that are occupied by South Africa and international science, technology, and innovation governments, we see the numbers are going up. We think we'll meet the 5-year target. total number of PhD students now in research development support services program 4 that are awarded bursary annually as reflected in the report of the NRF. Again, maybe a slight decrease or leveling off. And number of pipeline postgraduate students, that's more or less the same. Graduate and students placed in DST-funded work preparation programs in 30 institutions, I think would be okay for the target. Number of research infrastructure grants awarded at the award letters annually. You see that here there's a huge decrease from 70% to 30%, Honorable Chair. And amongst other reasons, and maybe Dr. Matudu can explain, we are already seeing the shifting of the funds by National Treasury. They moved approximately 150 million from the infrastructure grant of the NRF to set up funding to support mining research and development activities. So the funds there have been reduced, but the funds have been moved to the area of mining R&D. Number of researchers awarded research grants have been slight decrease, but the number of articles, of course, because these are usually from previous investments, they still remain more or less the same. And then we are still hopefully on target to get the number of antennas that are commissioned in the Meerkat project by the end of March 2018. And then we're also supposed to have a climate change research network that is in place, and this year we hope to formalize this through some memorandum of understanding. And then the number of biennial reports on the state of climate change in South Africa submitted to the Cabinet. The first biennial report was presented to Cabinet this year, and we hope to have another one that will be presented in March 2018, where really we'd like to look at how science and technology is supporting the efforts of climate change in South Africa. The number of participants in our science awareness and engagement strategy, so we are happy that the numbers are going up. But of course, we are beginning to look at the mechanisms of developing tracking ways of how are we getting either the public to be more engaged or the science students that or learners that we expose to these activities. Do they then follow careers in science? And then we continue to roll out the broadband capacity through the Sunrise program. And then on the last program, program 4, the number of learning interventions such as seminars, briefs, and policy papers, we are on track on that one. And then also we think that the number of master's and doctoral students that are funded in these programs, you can see that in the 2017-18 we're going to have 90. Our worry now is whether these programs are absorbing these master's and PhD students. So with colleagues in Program 5, we were wanting to get information whether the students that are trained in these sophisticated scientific areas are actually being absorbed by the institution. And then we also have a good sense of the knowledge and innovation products as indicated there that we are getting out of our IP portfolio. Research graduates, again, in these areas, we are having, we think we'll meet the target of 1,400, as well as the number of interns that are still supported. We should be able to meet the 590 strategic target for the 5 years. Number of knowledge products in this area that are fully funded or co-funded research initiatives, we think we are okay with that. And then the number of students, sorry, instruments funded in support of increased localization, competitiveness, and R&D-led industrial development in key areas, we think we'll be able to meet the target. In fact, we have to see the target. Number of innovation support interventions at a provincial level. This is a little bit lower than we would like it to be, but we continue to work with the offices of the Premier to get more activities that are supported at provincial level and rural innovation. On the turnaround time for providing pre-approval decisions and application for the R&D tax incentives, we think for the first time this year we will meet the target of 90 days because by June, July this year, I think the indications are that we will have dealt with all of the backlog up to 2014 and 15. So we are now processing last year's and a number of knowledge products on innovation for inclusive development published, a good number, decision support interventions introduced and maintained. Again, we continue to support the number of reports and policy briefs that are submitted on cabinet. We think we are on track. The long-term infrastructure plans, we think that we are adequately resourced to complete the Mayor Gas project, for instance. 3.67 billion by 2018 will have been spent on the project. And then this is the MTEF allocation for the current MTEF. So for this year, we have a budget of about 7.5 billion, and we indicate how it's broken down. And then for 18 and 19, it should be 7.9 and 8.2 billion by 2019-20. Yeah, and then this is how the budget is broken down to the different areas. We still have run about 8% for the administration of the programs, and the bulk of the funding, as the committee knows, is then in these programs, but the bulk of the money actually goes to the entities, approximately 92. And this is how the money, this is not the money, it's both the money, but also a slide that shows that from time to time we subject the entities that report to us to review. So Space Agency, non-expected, Academy of Sciences, it was reviewed in 2016, and the National Research Foundation. Last review for CSIR was 2009, so maybe it's also due for the review, and Human Sciences 2010, I think also is due for the review. And the Technology Innovation Agency, the last economic impact assessment was done in 2013, so it's still within the 5-year cycle. The National Advisory Council on Innovation, the budget that goes there, as well as the reviews that are expected in 2017, we did indicate that we'll be looking at the review for the Intellectual Property Act from IPC. So what are the implications of the budget cuts? As we indicated, there is now a moratorium on hiring staff in the department, and we're putting it as they can afford it to. As we indicated, this then starts to show an increase in the vacancy rate in the department. And then we're also seeing a reduction in some of the targets in the indicators that we showed as a result, or compared to 2016 and 2017. So these are the numbers that have been affected by the budget cuts. We've already talked about the research infrastructure grants, which has already been reduced because of the budget that has been shifted to the mining. The number of innovation products added to the IP innovation product. The bulk of this funding was the economic competitiveness support package, which was directed to the department. So there have been cuts on this funding, and therefore the outcomes that we expect because of the reduced funding mean that the innovation products will be reduced. And then, of course, together with the graduates that are funded in these programs because they are attached to the funding. Postgraduate students in some of the designated areas, the same thing, that were receiving funding through the ECSP funding, and the number of instruments or activities that are funded in support of this have also been affected, as well as the trainees that we then subject to the initiatives like WIPO, as we indicated. And socio-economic partnership, the reduction in the target for number of instruments funded in support of increased localization, competitiveness, and R&D-led industry, as I've indicated, because the budget came from the economic competitiveness support package, and then it also affects the knowledge products and the number of interns for this program as well. So in conclusion, we are in the 3 year of the strategic plan 2015-2020. Indications is that we will meet the broad objectives as indicated in the strategic outcome-oriented goals. We have reduced the target, as we indicated, mainly because we wanted to keep the indicators to those that are not operational in nature. And then we continue to pick up that there is a greater appreciation of the role of science and technology and innovation across government, and this we assuming that the 9-point plan and the fact that we've been asked to significantly contribute to the 9-point plan, as well as almost all the opposition parties, there is a greater appreciation. And then there is a change in policy context, and we are hoping to finalize this year the new white paper in about July, and then the National Advisory Council on Innovation Working Department will then hopefully table later this year a decade plan that will be taking us into the aspect of the National Development Plan beyond 2020. I think, Chair, that's it. Thank you very much. But up to the Chair whether some of the points that I've mentioned, if you need further explanation to the colleagues who are in your house. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think let's do that so that we have a holistic picture.
Thanks very much. So, Tony, the combined assurance model, and then Santa on the innovation, and then Mboneni on the expansion of the hydrogen fuel cell program.
I think you also indicated Dr. Matutu.
Yes, Dr. Matutu, if you could also help on that initiative.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I think on the combined assurance model, it's an innovation that we got in from some members of the audit committee that come also from the private sector. And it's really a model that looks at how do we then mitigate risks within the department where enterprise risk management and also your audit work together to minimize those risks. And then we've got the regular reports that are tabled before the ERMC or the enterprise risk management and also the audit committee in terms of the progress that we're making with regards to the strategy.
Thank you, Chair. Just going to explain on the issue of the rolling out of hydrogen fuel cells, especially just to highlight that the hydrogen fuel cell technology globally is undergoing testing or demonstration phases, obviously because of resources at different scales. And what we are doing, we have identified areas where these demonstrations can be utilized, especially where the impact will be more pronounced, especially in areas where there might not be electricity and we're using social infrastructures like schools and clinics. So last year we identified a school in Northwest. The process has started to really deploy that for us. And what we're doing is we're using all our three centers. They are putting their various components together into a unit that will then generate electricity. And where it is possible, we actually do a hybrid system where you've got a fuel cell, but you also have the deployment of solar. And this solar technology is the local technology that has been developed in South Africa. We are already in discussions with a number of provinces to look at such deployments in remote areas, in their schools and clinics. And we're hoping that by 2020 we would have at least 25 functional demos. We've seen the impact they have in terms of providing reliable energy, but also reducing the cost of electricity to such institutions as the schools. So we are also supporting the deployment of components because the market may not necessarily only be looking at the fully fledged unit. So on the component side, we've got a number of components that are already on sale, especially to the international market. These are coming out of the center at the Cape Town, which has now also spun out a company. And this component market will also help us in our partnership that we're negotiating with other fuel cell developers globally who may not have perhaps the quality of the material, of the
2017 in terms of the number of research infrastructure grants awarded has decreased the reprioritization by government, not by the department. But as for the other targets, we have adopted a new way of writing where we're rounding off to the nearest 100 and saying that no fewer than. So the numbers are not going to decrease as well, but we expect that at least we have a top estimation, because when we target them to the last number, then it becomes very difficult. When we exceed or when we underachieve, we always have to come up with an explanation, whereas the no fewer than assists a great deal.
The example that DG was alluding to in terms of the grassroots innovation program within the Innovation for Inclusive Developmental Program demonstrates how, as the department, we're moving beyond the conventional technology transfer in terms of supporting township and rural enterprises. So the example that was made is located, as I indicated, within the grassroots innovation program, a program that we've introduced to support innovators in townships and rural areas, mainly innovators that are innovating outside your science councils and higher education institutions. And the evidence that we have to date is that there is innovation even in areas that we've previously regarded as high-end skills, for example, in advanced manufacturing, in ICTs. And some of these innovations will be demonstrated or exhibited at the coming science, youth and insights and innovation in that in June. We are also working with provincial partners and also the sectors, private sector and NPOs, to look at how do we optimize and better support grassroots innovators. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the additional information also. Thank you, DG, for the presentation. Honorable members, your time, Dr. Lutris, Honorable Natalia, Honorable Coroner.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you for the presentation. I would just like to know, just for my own clarity, in terms of the implications of the budget cuts, as you explain it here, do I understand correctly that this is the effect it has on the department itself, or is it also transferred now, the budget cut implications, to the entity? Or are you just giving us a sense of what the department, the implications for the department is, and that this is what you are absorbing? And then secondly, if you refer to the 42 vacancies, could you give us an indication of the different levels? Not specifically, I know you don't perhaps have the detail with you, but are these high level or low level, where do that fall?
Honorable Matale.
Thanks, DG and the team for the presentation. You know, every time you make a presentation, one gets blown up, but yeah, no, indeed we are on the right track. Given my experience and what has been happening throughout, of course, there have been some acknowledgement of the centrality of science, I think, and now the task that you have been given to participate in fighting science and other related matters. From your own experience, do you think where science is positioned, we need to consider a different platform in terms of, you know, government works with seniority. If we are standing at the same platform, you know, when you speak, it's like, well, I will listen you to you with one ear. But if the other one is a DDG and the other one is a DG, when the DG speaks, the DDG tends to listen, but when the DDG speak, sometimes the DG listens with one ear. You know,
think to some extent that might be the reason why sometimes when things are supposed to be done by science, it gets done by another department. Do you think its positioning might warrant the need to put it at a different level where it can be able to play the role that it's supposed to play, that is having to cut across all departments? The other issue is to do with the north. You are talking hydrogen fuel cells, which in the main a product or a byproduct of platinum. And platinum, from what we hear, it's northwest predominantly, and Limpopo more predominantly. But the component manufacturing, it's somewhere almost next to the sea, 2,000 kilometers away from the source. Is that not perpetuating what we have inherited? And if we were to do things differently, are we not supposed to dig a hole? And we know that hole, as we dig, it's not something that we'll dig forever. You'll reach a stage where that stone is no longer there. You are left with a hole. And where you are manufacturing the components, they will obviously have used their capacity to manufacture the components and to diversify and do other things beyond the stone, like you have in Johannesburg, where gold created the city as is today, and that city is flying without the gold. And here we'll have a situation where the platinum is gone, and the source of the platinum is not flying, and the source of the component have diversified and will continue to fly, and it has been flying. I'm not saying that we must underdevelop the Cape. We must continue to ensure that it goes as far as it is possible, using what we say is going to be the center of our economic growth, which is knowledge, a knowledge system, which I think the Cape can do without this component manufacturing. I'm not saying it mustn't, but I'm just saying that are we not creating a problem for ourselves? Because fuel cells, from what you are saying, is that you are creating a market, or the world is creating a market which is not there. If you are starting a new thing, is it not advisable to also say, because we are digging a hole here, we are going to leave these villagers with a hole, why don't we bring something that can help in the diversification of the economy of those areas where this thing come from? But I think in the main chair, what the department is doing is commendable. It's just that they will never reach a stage where you say, "Ah, now it's enough. We are doing well, and we must do more because we have got a mountain to climb as a country." But thanks for the opportunity, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the presentation. You know, quite correctly, DG, you've said at the beginning that the National Development Plan is the guiding document, you know, for science and technology. My feeling is that, you know, in my mind, it appears the NDP is sort of somewhere on a back burner. When you relaunch, or when you launch the white paper, will there be an emphasis again put on the National Development Plan, and will you use that opportunity sort of to relaunch the good ideas that was launched, you know, in terms of that document? And then secondly, because of the deprivation we have seen in many communities of science and technology, you know, there's not acceptance by communities of the importance of science.
individuals, I think we've convinced them via, you know, the mobile technology that you must embrace science, but communities do not see it. Do we do this department enough in terms of enhancing communities and to tell them and policies for promotion in terms of the importance of science and how they can change, you know, whole communities and not only individuals? And then if I look at the budget, the percentage of GDP in terms of our African peers, I think it's about 1.5% of the GDP. But in South Africa, just correct me, I think it's 0.73%. If I'm correct, you know, I'm happy. Then, fourthly, on climate change, the leading department in South Africa on climate change is the Department of Environmental Affairs. I see in your presentation today that you put quite an emphasis on climate change. Can I take from that that the Department of Science and Technology will play a bigger role and that they will also represent South Africa, or maybe you have represented South Africa together with the Department of Environmental Affairs? Will that happen? And then I want to commend you, well, maybe because of the MTEP allocation, but you know, if you are successful in bringing down your administration costs the way you did, I must commend you with regard to that, without sacrificing maybe you know, good performance. And the Department of Science and Technology, I always call them the good news department of government. So thank you for that. In when the entities was in front of us, there was, I can't remember, I think it was the Human Science Research Council, they were saying there's a little bit of overlapping between the entities. They were not exactly telling us what they're referring to us, but do you experience that, and is it possible to make sure that entities do not overlap, because, you know, that resources will then be wasted? And then, just finally, just a quote. You know, they've made a movie about Marie Curie, the lady who has invented radium. And she has said, you know, that can link to the Honorable Whip's comment that we thank you for what you're doing. But she said, have no fear of perfection. You will never reach it. So just carry on with the good work you are doing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jay. Thank you for the presentation. It's much appreciated. And I would like to agree with Honorable Kurnov. This is the good news department. Mm-hmm. And it's always a pleasure to hear any presentation from any of the entities and from the department. My question is actually related to one of the questions coming from Honorable Kurnov, and that is what we heard from the HRSC, that their budget has been cut by 20 million rand. And my question to you, sir, is how did you go about, when the department's budget was cut, in deciding how you are going to cut each of these entities' budgets? Did you use a specific formula? Did you look at the performance? Did you look at the outputs, the KPIs? What exactly did you use? Because some of these entities have the ability to get their own funds and do so very, very well. Like one of the entities, of course, I think in the Minister Bordon's last budget speech, he referred to one of the entities. I think they got something like 2.9 billion rand. I actually went to the minister, and I think I spoke to you at the American Embassy, and we spoke about that, and we thought that maybe it might be a it was CSIR, that it might be a mistake, and it seemed that it wasn't. It was money that I sourced from somewhere else. But the HRSIR is going to struggle find that money elsewhere, especially in the current economic climate in which we find ourselves. So I just want to find out, how do you see the way forward for the entities that are going to struggle, and also for those that does not have the ability to go and fundraise? Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members, for the questions. I have been covered by the honourable members, but I just wanted to find out of the 42 vacancies, how many of those do you think are essential? I know with science and technology, every post and I mean, having created those posts, they are essential, but there are those who, you know, would die for the relaxing of that moratorium, and maybe it's something that you need to meet with the committee, public administration, just to highlight these faiths, and also there's an intention that we have also to make our case to appropriation, so that they understand the science and technology and where it comes from. And I think the tendency that it's seen as this big corporate department that people just see it as a very difficult one, and not wanting to understand actually how it operates, what is their needs, and how it contributes to the economy of the country, and also on the skills development and innovation and also human capital development. The issue of, I'm not sure if there is a meeting, whether of DGs or what have you, or in interministerial, in relation to some of the innovation that comes from the department, and the example of the CSIR and the incubation program. If DG, there is an intention, or if probably it is taking place, a meeting or collaboration with small business and DTI, so that after incubation you would have ticked your box. And so, but then what happens to those people? And in the oversight that you overtook, in especially of the TIA, and so, I mean, it's very interesting to see ordinary people, you know, from the rural areas saying, you know, I grow this particular plant and extract the juice there to make this cream. And then there's now a demand of adding to the range, because that particular gentleman had a, I think it was hand cream, right? It was hand cream, but the store, I think he's supplying spa. The customers there want more of that, to diversify, to have maybe face cream and something else and something else. So, you know, we had said that if you look at it, the approach that should ease the burden from yourselves is that they must be absorbed by small business and market created for them, exposed, and then as they grow bigger, then DTI take over. And I think what we usually emphasize is that we are one government, we are one unitary state, and we need to work with each other, not compete with each other. And we are also, as the committee, trying to advocate as best to offer ability of a separate vote on R&D, so that then the departments that put R&D in their budget, but if they have to shift funds, that's the first area. That in the meantime, part of your entities are those that are being approached, and also including having to go out to independent consultants who come up with a product that is not favorable to what they're looking for, while there's CSIR, there's HSRC that could do all those. And lastly, those are the ones. I think the others have been covered by honourable members. You will indicate how you delegate.
Thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just before you respond, DG, I just want to say to members, honourable members, and the department that there's tea outside, so you can just stand up, take a cup, or whatever you want, and come back.
Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks very much for the questions and inputs. The budget cuts, Honourable Lotrite, it's in two parts. The first one is on the human resources budget for the department. So that one affects the number of people that we have in the department. And if I can combine then that question with your second part and the Honourable Chair's question. Out of the 42 vacancies, 13 are senior managers, and 29 then is the non-SMS below the director level. But of the 42, we consider 17 posts to be critical posts. What we mean by that is that if those posts are not filled, we are likely to start seeing an impact in the department's ability to oversee the entities or to support the entities on the one hand, but also to execute some of the initiatives that are implemented in the department. We have been negotiating with Treasury, because what happened when these cuts were made was that there was no discussion with line departments around what the process from Treasury was. I think they had a target of how they want to bring the public service wage bill down, and that was at a macro level, which we understand, but we thought that some nuances in different departments must be considered. For instance, we thought we look at policy-related departments vis-a-vis occupation-specific type departments, you know, the ones that have nurses, teachers, and police. You can't apply the same kind of brush to deal with the cutting of staff, and that was not done. But yesterday there was a meeting of directors general chaired by the DG in the presidency, and they've set up a multi-disciplinary team, DPSA, National Treasury, some key line departments, that would work to come up with a framework on how this can be done. Because I think this year alone, even though we've lost, I think, some staff that have been resigning and not filling the post, the staff budget shortage, if I remember very well, CFO, is either a number 18 or 28, one of the two. I cannot remember. I know it does, it has an 8 at the end. Oh.
What did you say, that with what the current staff members, we still have a shortfall of now it is sitting at 17 with the current 17 million with the current resignation, because we've got an allocation of 315 and we actually need a budget of 3332 to pay everybody who is in the current employment.
So that's the shortfall, even as people, we're not filling any new posts since this was, I think, announced 2 years ago. So we will have to, they've asked us to come back to them during the adjustments in October to see whether they can help us to fund that shortfall of about 17 million. So we'll do the best we can. by probably asking staff to, in certain instances, to take more than what they usually do. But as you do that, you suddenly find that the unions remember that they have a responsibility to their members. And they've been asking that if we ask staff to take more than what they're supposed to do, then we need to start thinking about compensating them appropriately. So we will come and share with the portfolio committee how we resolve this matter as we proceed. But it is a matter that we are really trying our best to make sure that the work doesn't suffer whilst ensuring that we don't subject our staff, not only in terms of remunerating them, but sometimes you feel the stress level in the department is going up because people are being asked to take on more than what they have to do. So we will try. And then, Honorable Matale, the 2 points that you've made. What we are proposing this in the new white paper. The issue of if the work of the science, technology and innovation enterprise, the entities, including the department, has got to be taken to a higher trajectory, how should the governance within government of science and technology be looked at? And then there are a number of proposals. The first one, of course these are just ideas, they are not tested at this point in time, and they are still through the process of consultation, is that maybe a structure in the presidency needs to be considered that would work with the MPC and ensure that each line department has science and technology activities within their plans, and National Advisory Council on Innovation with the department then probably proposes a set of things that we think from our perspective are ready for, if you like, upscale or taken up by those line departments, together with perhaps setting up a high-level ministerial structure with the chair president or the deputy president that looks at the priorities in science and technology and how science and technology can assist the country both in transforming the economy but also in using science and technology for businesses. Chair was talking about from the work that the CSIRB IPC has been doing and other support work that we are proposing in this innovation for inclusive development, because our resources will not be able to magnify and give us the impact that we're looking for unless there is, as you rightfully point out, a higher level governance structure of the national system. So those are the two ideas that we are proposing at this point in time. And then, of course, when we present the paper to the committee, we would welcome any views from the committee around how this can be strengthened or other ideas on how you locate the activities so that it gets the kind of ear that makes it easy for the budget and the extension of the work to have the result. And then on the strategy to ensure that the value addition in the hydrogen fuel cell doesn't get down far away, I think there are two proposals that I'm familiar with, and maybe Mboneni would know. I do know that there is a special economic zone that has been proposed in Gauteng for the manufacturing of the hydrogen fuel cells. I agree with you, it's still far away from the Bushveld complex. But I also thought that there was a discussion with the Office of the Premier in Limpopo for the possibility of having another special economy zone that would be dedicated just on platinum beneficiation and hydrogen, as well as I think something that a while ago was called Platinum Valley, which was driven by the Northwest province, and in particular Mashudu Ramano was also instrumental in thinking. But I'm not so sure where each of these initiatives are at this point in time. What I would say is that we as a department, I don't think we would have a preference, but I think using these government incentives, like if the province is willing to set up a special economic zone for the manufacturer, I think with whatever incentives they put in place for the attraction, that in my view would be the way of keeping the manufacturing in the same in those areas. We would be more than happy through the work that we do with the provincial forum, where we try with various provinces to say these are opportunities that are presented by our work for your province. I think also this year, the provincial Lefuta in the northwest invited the minister and the department. I did not participate there, but I think there was a huge interest from the northwest province also to have some of the manufacturing for the platinum fuel cells in the area. So I'd be more than happy just maybe to get a sense of the special economic zone in Ekurhuleni and where it is, and the status of the platinum value in the northwest, and these initial discussions that we had had with the Office of the Premier as part of just getting, I think, the idea that the Honorable Matale is really ensuring that, because it's not only the production, but it's the ancillary industries that you create mm-hmm. around this industry mm-hmm. that will then create jobs. So I think we can share with them. And then Honorable Gordonov, I think we can use the launch of the white paper, which of course we will share with the Minister, of making sure that the aspects of the NPP that can be enhanced by the contribution of science and technology, and then highlighted, we bring that into the fore in the public discussion. And that leads me to the second point, on the public engagement and whether we are doing enough. What we are proposing, and the committee will be processing a bill that will be taking this proposal forward. The Agency for the Advancement of Science and Technology at the NRF is the entity that is supposed to do the public engagement. As you know, they are responsible for the running of the science centers and getting the message to the public. What we are proposing is that it be formally, if you like, established as an entity that we can hold accountable for public engagement, including how it can be financed in order to achieve that. Initially, we have proposed that 4% of the funding that goes to the entities be earmarked for public engagement. When 4% is the minimum. We can go higher than that, and that a certain portion of the 4% would be given to SAFCAN to increase its capacity to design programs as well as to monitor whether the entities, CSIR, Women Scientists, are also deepening the public engagement program. So the short answer is not enough, but we are looking at how we can institutionalize it so that we can deepen the enhancement of the public engagement. And on the budget here, the budget is 0.76% cross expenditure on R&D as a percentage of GDP. The target that has been proposed within the continent is 1%. So I think we are all, as I had with 1 year, having to work hard to at least achieve 1%. But I think this government has tried to look at least 1.5%. And our view is that the way to do this is perhaps we should think of the models that have been used elsewhere. Maybe I've said this in this committee, that if you go to Brazil, they have a way of raising taxes or using some of the money in the states of Brazil, so state of São Paulo, state of Rio de Janeiro, to finance those priorities that are relevant for that particular province. So the issue, for instance, that has been raised by Honorable Matale, if the province has a budget or earmarked budget for science and technology, and you have these hydrogen and fuel cells that have got to be rolled out in the province, as well as the manufacturing, they would use that budget. São Paulo's called for first, in Rio de Janeiro's called for. So there are models, and then at the local government level, again, earmarked for service delivery using science and technology. So we are working on these ideas again, and hopefully within Treasury, if they agree that this could be done, and the offices of the premiers could also say, yes, we will identify where we can partner with you in order to finance these activities. So hopefully this could be a way of raising more money, but also to achieve the way of making sure the products that are coming from the system are utilized. And the issue of the climate change, we do two parts. We've got our own activities through one of Sustainable Innovation Plan Grand Challenges that looks at global change. But our role is to look at how science can be used to understand climate change and to inform policy as a result of climate change. For instance, we developed, working with the CSIR, something which was called a risk and vulnerability atlas. So we do know that it's going to be a 2-degree global warming. But what does it mean at a local level, and how should municipalities start to plan so that they understand the impact of climate change? So this risk and vulnerability atlas, I think, is now being converted into an electronic dashboard kind of GIS map. It's an example of how science has been used to inform policy. But secondly, we also use science to assist the Department of Environmental Affairs, which participates in the global structures. So we don't participate, but we support them through science evidence. But also there are discussions in climate change that look at how technology can help in the mitigation and adaptation, and therefore we support the Department of Environmental Affairs in those aspects. So those are the two contributions. And then the point about the overlapping entities, yes, there are overlaps, and we are trying to manage these overlaps by making sure that, for instance, when we do our strategic planning, we try and engage the entities. I think when we're preparing for this one, we engage three times. And then also we try and point these out through the APP planning processes. But sometimes these are unavoidable. So I think this is also the point that was raised by Honorable Teplan. Our view is that it's probably more a case of how some of these duplications could complement the entities. So sometimes duplications would be unavoidable as long as they are, as you rightfully point out, don't take lots of resources for people to do the same thing. And then the CEOs of these entities meet once a quarter in a platform called the Committee of Heads of Research and Technology Councils Cohort. And we also try and use that platform to indicate to them what we observe as overlaps and how they can be minimized. And then, Honorable Teplanche, the budget cuts are usually not done by departments, unless if there is a major need. And when we do that, we usually chop slice and we inform the entities that we will do this upfront. The budgets are usually done by Treasury. And our job is to ensure that we minimize the impact to the entities, and we try and work with the entities to make sure that those shortfalls do not affect the overall impact. Just to illustrate the point, the 150 million over the next 3 years that has been cut was not done by us. Treasury indicated to us during the allocation that 150 will now be allocated for the mining research and development. That money was not new money. This is the money which was originally allocated for infrastructure at the National Research Foundation. So as an accounting officer, all I had to do is to recommend to the minister that that letter be informed. So when the entities, we don't usually cut their budgets, you know, willy-nilly. We are very careful about this. So unless, of course, there have been once or twice, I think, 2 years ago, where Treasury asked us, if you had to absorb a 1% cut across all your entities, where would you recommend? And there, again, we recommend on the basis of those areas where the impact of the work of the entities would be minimized. We try to avoid budgets for employment. We try and avoid budgets for human capital development. And then in some of the projects, we leave it up to them to prioritize, but we usually, in fact, go to the entities and say, if you were to absorb the 1% cut, where would you do it? So so I hope I'm truthful to say, one, in most cases, these are done by Treasury, and two, if Treasury asks us where, if, say, 1% 5% haircut is required, re-engage with the entities. We can always have our ideas, but to do it in such a way that it doesn't minimize key areas. The Honorable Chair, the vacancies, I hope we will provide that. And you run to the issue of how do you collaborate with other government departments. We have, for instance, in the incubation programs, have agreed to work with the Department of Small Business Development that will incubate up to a certain point and they will finance the rollout. But I think the point that you are asking is how do you institutionalize it. At this point in time, no mechanism exists for the chairman except for us to share in our bilateral agreements that we have with various departments where the DGs meet maybe once every 6 months with the ministers as well, where we share areas where we think for enhanced impact of the work that we've done, how should we manage this. For instance, at the moment, we are proposing a collaboration with the DGI on the commercialization strategy because the amount of money that we can provide for incubation, maybe mainly via TIER, and to get these into the marketplace is less than the money that is needed for big commercial plants in certain industries. And it is the DGI and the EDD that have got the resources that will be able to do that. Same with small business. We have been asking them to work with us on the technology stations program as well as the tech localization program, so that we can harmonize the initiatives of the department, including, I think, the work that the CSIR is doing on the bio industry, bio innovation development center. I think the example of the small entrepreneur that you are referring to probably the one supported by them, to say how do we then get them when they have these orders supported by small business through the budget that they have. So through the bilaterals we're doing this, can always be enhanced, and maybe again in the paper, white paper, we should be thinking about how to institutionalize it so that it doesn't depend on the good relationship either the minister there or DG there, so that this becomes an institutional arrangement that continues beyond just the relationship. I hope I've covered everything on that. I apologize that I didn't refer to my colleagues. They always get angry with me that they are not just beautiful faces, but if any one of them would like to add anything, maybe Chair, just a quick one. Dr. Masoud.
Thank you very much, Chair. There's just one thing which has been left missing on Dr. Gornoff's assertion that the NDP, oh sorry, Honourable, that the NDP seems to be in the back burner in terms of our plan. That was one area that was mentioned. So in that respect, the NDP has been broken down into a five-year plan, which are called the medium-term strategic framework, so with different outcomes, and the department participates on some of these outcomes fully. I will make an example of outcome 5, which is a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path, where we fully participate and we meet as part of a team of key government departments who contribute towards the indicators which get fed back into Parliament by the lead department, which is the Department of Higher Education and Training. So there are a number of outcomes where the department participates, and some of the indicators like human capital development indicators, infrastructure indicators appear there, and they get reported in progress that's reported in that sense. Moreover, we have taken the NDP targets seriously in the department. Our minister, for instance, has requested that we do a proper financial model of what it would take to reach the targets which are set in the NDP of having a certain number of sessions like 20, 30, and we completed the model. We presented it to the minister, and she has asked us to do additional work in order to look at that. But because the model is just not by itself, it comes with an HCD strategy. So we've presented that HCD strategy to the Human Resource Development Council, which is led by the Deputy President. So as soon as what the Minister has requested us to do is done, we will be able to come back to Parliament and report on that HCD strategy together with the financial model, which is looking at reaching the NCP targets and the targets which can be reached looking at the available resources as well. So it's something that we're looking at very seriously.
Thank you, DG. Just to add very quickly to what the DG has indicated around four steps, we have now reached a stage where the work needs to come out of the lab into the piloting and manufacturing. And that process also includes moving closer to the sources of the mineral platinum itself. So the DG has made some remarks on the work that the Department of Trade Industry was doing on special economic zones. The platinum value, which was being proposed for Northwest, and another one which was being proposed for Limpopo. And there was also the Ekule in Springs, which is just adjacent to the Impala Platinum facility, which is where last year we launched the hydrogen fuel cell power forklift. So those are the areas that have been under discussion. I don't know at which stage they are. However, the work that is happening at UCT now, even though they are making sales, we just actually had about 2 weeks ago some discussion that it needs to be scaled out of the university and move somewhere which is closer to the sources of platinum. So the likelihood is that we are going to have these activities of beneficiation moving north, so that you don't have a situation where you are really shipping this from the source to where it might be even more expensive to beneficiate. The designations obviously are with our sister department. I'm not sure at what stage those designations are at the moment. But the ones that have been proposed, there was Limpopo, there was Northwest, and also Springs next to Impala Platinum.
Okay, thank you very much, once again, DG, for the presentation and response from your team on questions raised by honourable members. I think as a committee, we are committed and we are mindful of the challenges that we face and the needs, and as part of our oversight, as I said, in visiting those areas from different entities, we get to have a better sense of what is needed, and not just sitting here listening to theory and lambast officials here when we don't have a real sense of what, because sometimes when they present, you guys become modest, like we don't want to worry you, but we need to know the truth so that we go out there and see how we, as part of our responsibilities, highlight your faith, highlight and indicate the relevance to the growth of the economy. And so, but you continue doing that. And the example that you made of the R&D, so if you have a separate budget, if we work very well, and it's something that continue knocking doors on. We hope that some of the issues that were raised and probably they might find space at the forthcoming policy conference and so that we move easier and to be adopted in December. But we'd like to thank you and I'd like to thank you, honorable members. We're going to have the presentation or the update of the IKS there. I would like it to be there, but I just want to that we have a 5 minute break, just body break, and I know other people couldn't go out and take tea, and then we continue. Thank you very much.
And you know that other thing is with it.
With the South African Japan
but we will have the representatives of the EDC and ISON and other representatives, about 35 of them. And so the whole committee will be at this event, which is boost activity. So if we have our representative, we know who is in Japan using Mabuza. She's working on the program. But I would be happy to share this with you, say, tomorrow, a draft program for your consideration. You can input into it. The 15th is the launch, the relaunch of the South Africa, Japan,
even
the
Malaysia.
Is it too early?
But well, then I will probably then not go, because I cannot change that.
No,
I think we should start with it in Japan and come back.
No, I think she's got other things on the screen here that she can't change. So that was the problem. So we had to record that.
Doesn't matter. Okay.
No, yeah. I think we are saying she can take it back.
Okay. Yeah, I asked him to actually share that work with the PC. So in this idea of starting perhaps in Japan, ending in Korea, could also be an option.
But then it would somehow be started later. I don't think you can go like the wheelchair. Everyone can come.
Okay, so I will send an updated draft program.
Okay.
Because what Johanna sent to me is
very,
very
this IKS thing. Now you only want to eat indigenous. Permission of the members to contact technical committee to meet and see the issues in relation to IPLA and IKS. But I'll give it to Dr. Felix to present.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honorable Chair and honorable members, it's been quite an intense round of activities on IKS. Just as probably one of the items to brag about, we had the first cohort of the indigenous knowledge, the Bachelor of Indigenous Knowledge Systems graduation on the 24th of April, Mafeking in Northwest. 20 started and 16 managed to get the degree.
Wow.
In terms of the report, we probably begin just a bit before the 1st of March, when the Joint Committee met. There have been public hearings and a lot of comments. So these have been, we've worked with the legal drafter, the parliamentary legal drafters, and the department, and the raised a technical working draft that has been done. And following that, there's also been some visits, two oversight visits by the portfolio committee to Atakwa and Dedan. I'm pretty sure that you were quite surprised by the reception in Dedan by the DST NRF IKS Center in that area and the communities. Of course, you engaged with the communities where we went, and these are just a sample of the communities that we have. With the Atakwa community, they looked at the bicultural issues. It's not just straightforward to be able to get into agreements. So you have to, and this was quite a useful experience just to experience that. On the 1st of March, that was probably the critical meeting of the joint sitting of the two portfolio committees, science, technology and in trade and industry. The purpose was, of course, to solicit the comments, and you engaged with these discussions. So we just looked at this as part of the backdrop. The commission, the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission made a presentation, and it was quite a good response. Out of this meeting, a couple of decisions were made, which were to carry over forward the work. One was to set up a task team. And on behalf of the joint portfolio committees, the chair wrote to the ministers requesting them to informing them about this and the way forward. It had taken a bit of some time to take legal and technical but the minister has responded to the letter, citing our reluctance, but also agreeing that the task team should go forward. We had also noted that in the correspondence between the two DGs, the terms of reference as stated by the portfolio committee were being extended a bit by the DG from the DTI to request that the Department of Environmental Affairs be part of the task team. But we have followed the recommendation to the letter, and the DG has written a response to the colleague with the names of the DST officials that will constitute that task team, and the date has been set at the 26th of May, in which that work will be commenced. We do not believe that it will take long. It should actually take a day, so for us to look through the issues. The list of the issues are those that the portfolio committee had agreed upon, and I've just pushed them there as a way of reminder. And this is where we are, so we are ready to run with the task, and the date has been set. Thank you very much. I was being reminded with the courtesy of the department that we miss a task as well. So thank you very much. we will do better next time.
Okay. Okay, honourable members, this is the progress report on the IKS bill. Members, at the point in March, we put it on hold and are waiting the other process that was recommended. So now the committee, that task team is going to meet on the 26th of May. So it means we can resume after that, the 26th of May, to get the report thereof, and then we can then resume and continue. But also I think that, okay, let me not preempt, let's wait for the 26th of May and see what the outcome is. But we would really want to see the finalization of this process, the bill. And it's true that the community we met in Oltshoorn, it was very, very interesting. It was an interesting experience. Actually, even when we then also attended the colloquium in UKZN, and the testimony from the students want to consider doing my PhD in ICANN. There's great information, it's very interesting, you know, it just shows the things that you knew but you didn't think about are coming out, and that would be very interesting. So honorable members,
just one question, Chairperson, thank you. I hope that the DST will go into this task team with a good legal. If you're going to arrive there on the 26th of May without a good legal opinion, but it must be then Professor from Stellenbosch, who I agree with him. I think he is a top man in terms of intellectual property. But he is dubbed by the Department of Trade and Industry. So you need a proper independent legal opinion to tell both departments that intellectual property cannot live with both modes in force. There's going to be a clash, and you'll just make the lawyer catch. So I don't know whether you plan for that position.
I think the question is Honorable Coroner sitting for committees, and I know his heart is more in science and technology, and giving us tips on how to help us. And also as a legal person, but I think the what he's saying is very important, and if you could take that into consideration so that we really get to find out.
No, thank you very much. We thought about it, but we have enough time as well in order to do that. So thank you very much for that advice.
Thank you very much. Honorable Makai.
It's just that, just to emphasize what Honorable Cornwall is saying, must be a good legal advice. Someone who will help you through your affair. You get a good person who will help you.
That's the empathy on the legal. Legal person. For that. Anything else, honorable members? Okay. Let's thank on behalf of the portfolio committee, the DG and his team, and also Dr. Feletti, is part of the our fundi on the IKF thing and the process thereof for the update. We look forward to a meeting after the finish the conference so that we can engage. We hope that it will take us forward. Thank you very much. You are free to go, but you can stay if you want to.
Maybe that would be nice to see you think.
Yeah. Up front, you know, feeling one of the things about excited. It's only yesterday that I'm shy, I love it. I'm writing exams. Can this one have any business? Yeah.
Okay, so
Chair, how are you?
Chair, the under pressure from our division manager to talk about the last issue at the end of the evening. The chairperson does not want to issue. We must then take the other members in the issue. But we will say that sometimes there are reasons that the job committee will not be in the field of issue. Thank you, honourable members. We now on the third tranche of our meeting, the committee business. I think the recess or constituency period and the holidays in April did us disservice, you know, and because the budget vote for the committee is the very first one, and much as we have received a presentation from the entities, we've just received from the department, although there was not much that we differ from, but it be important for honorable members just to go through and look. And I want to propose a process that to yourselves that you can agree to or you can modify or
object if you don't want. But that we compile the report and then we circulate to members by Friday.
Mm-hmm.
By Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So by Monday. The unfortunate thing is that most of the things that would have been done by the researchers, the content advisors, now only Shana. And so we're trying to work hard together. So if by Monday it's circulated to members and members can comment online, electronically, on the report itself, we factor those recommendations by honorable members. And then on Tuesday morning, we just have a short meeting just to adopt the report. And then we then have at 2 in the National Assembly will be the report. Let me put that to yourself first before I even continue anything else. Honorable members? Honorable Matan and Patanichi? We can meet with IT to make sure that the format that you sent to us enables us to open. Sometimes you can't even open a notice of a meeting. I think something that we need to deal with. And then Shanaz will also look for a committee room where in the morning we can meet. The honorable member.
What time is it?
I'm going to check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. We can even try for 8:30 if it's possible. Because it would be just a short meeting. Because we would have looked at the report, you would have commented on the report, and so forth, and also the program of the department usually invite us to the exhibition and other formats. But also, as I've noted to Honorable Matale, the other unfortunate aspect of the budget being the 16th is that the very same day at 2:30 I'm writing an exam. So that requested Honorable Matale to present the committee report. So I will definitely miss it. I will be at the meeting the next day. And the unfortunate thing, if only my exam was in the morning, that it's at 2:30. If I continue, Honorable Matale?
No, I was proposing that we should meet at 8 o'clock. The reason for that is... Oh, sorry.
There's also there's that proposal. There's also the program with the department also at the Indizo Center, and the visit to the exhibition, but and there's usually a lecture. So this time it's Professor Michael Kahn, and yeah, I think everybody's got a copy. And we will request the Honorable Matali to do a vote of thanks on behalf of the Portfolio Committee members. So do you agree to the 8 o'clock? Honorable Brandt? Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The second item would have been the committee position on the IK earthquake, of which we've already dealt with that review. We will schedule a meeting after the date where the department, the task team would have met. There's also the invitation for the, on Monday, for the Hidden Figures at the Labia Theatre. And it's requested that if honorable members put RSVP, on that,
for the budget program, and I'll do it.
Shana will also speak on the issues of the two invites that you have received. But you also take us through on the international travel.
Thank you. Just on the budget book invitation and the one for the screening of the film, if members can let me know, and then I can from a central point just RSVP to say, you know, who's going and who's not going. So that's on the one thing. And then on the second point of international travel, why it's like a committee item, because we need to record, we have defined it at this meeting that we embarking on this trip and kind of agree to a date, and then we can proceed further. So what's from my side, I think the countries that we put out there was like South Korea, Japan was a possible stopover in Hong Kong. So we've been asking the Department of Science and Technology, the International Cooperation and Resources Department of DST, to look at what agreements or programs there are with what kind of bilaterals we have with countries in South, with the two countries we've identified. They came up with a very, very rough thing that I just came this morning, so there wasn't time to really look at it, which I will look at it later, and they will obviously add research for the purpose of this meeting so that we have something, and I could report that they are working on a program for us for those two countries. So that is like a work in progress. We'll have something much more detailed maybe when we meet next time. at our next meeting on the program, if we so agree that it's the two countries that we're going to. The dates, we've looked at possible dates. Parliament normally wants a 1.5 to 2 month span for the processing of this thing. So the dates that we looked at would possibly fall within the constituency period. We're proposing that we maybe depart around the 7th or the 8th of July. That should be on a Friday, that we work the week and return around the, because this is also something that we need to discuss. Part of the program, they had said on the 15th of July, there's something big happening in Japan, where some of our university high-level persons will be, and they wanted our visit to coincide or culminate with the launch of that big program. I will once the program is a bit more detailed, or maybe next week we can have an issue under our every weekly thing now to just update on where we are at with regard to the international travel. So that is possibly the date that we're looking for coming back, the 15th or just after the 15th. So that's on the date. Then there's obviously a lot of other things that needs to happen, and needs to happen very fast. So if people do not have official passports, I need to know that almost as of today so that we can set the process in motion of applying for that. We're going to have to apply for visas. So those are some of the things that I would need to know immediately. The other things that I have been looking at is also routing. I also got a lot of information only yesterday, so I couldn't because they gave me a whole lot of scenarios. But now with the program more or less kind of being in a draft format, we can inform the routing process and the airline. So if there are specifics also that in terms of preferences, choices, we can, if that can come through before even I start my application, so that we don't have problems with the thing, you know, and some kind of crash that the engine is going to fall out. So if there are preferences, I'll work it in before the time, and then they can change it. What was some of the other things? Yeah, and it's very likely, I'm not sure how we're going to decide this. Normally, in the years that I've been here, they've used one format, and that format has been 7 members, 4 and plus 3. From the other parties would be 3, and the ANC would be 4. Normally exclude the chairperson so that we can maybe increase the number or accommodate for a bit more. We can decide to push for more and let them bring it down, I don't know. That's one of the considerations. They normally just allow 7 or 8 people to go. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shana. That's the presentation of the members. I'll show you say something around that to Mr. Makhaya.
Thank you, Chair. I suggest if we agree to discuss it in our next meeting, not next week Tuesday, then it's impossible, but Wednesday, maybe that other week. But the issues of passports, I think even if we don't, the trip we don't go, those who don't have official passports can just apply for them now. They will just have them in their position. But this other thing, if she can just put it in writing, mm-hmm. we can discuss it in the next meeting. Because now you might have to remember what she said, and you missed stuff because it's not in black and white. But for the passport, I suggest those who don't have must get in touch with her immediately.
Any other contributions? If not, we'll discuss it then further next week when we get the
changes.
Okay.
So can we just maybe for record purposes that we agree that we're doing this study tour?
Yeah.
those are the countries and those are the possible dates.
I was so a lot of head nodding. So
yeah.
I was about to say that.
No, for record purposes, I second the proposal that we do the countries as reflected, South Korea, Japan, and a stopover in Hong Kong. And that if there is a proposal different to what is presented, that proposal be submitted. And the person can make that proposal now. And then we will discuss it in our next meeting. But for now, we agree in principle that we do an international trip and these are the recommended areas which we can expect.
Please move for the adoption of the proposal. Give me the second of the board. Second, thank you very much. Remember that then brings us to the end of the meeting. That was the last on the agenda of the committee. And I'd like to thank you for your participation, for being here, for contribution and enriching the committee and also directing the department on the way that we'd like to see us moving forward. Thank you very much and have a blessed day.
minutes is long. But, 2 minutes.
That's on the board, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because as you can see, we have other people in here that is not.
Yeah. We're going to have to leave now because I'm going to have an AMC style with me.
Oh, okay. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sorry?
Sorry, ma'am?
Yeah. Did you say in your name? No, that's fine, because it's already open. I don't want
to.
Yeah.
Thank you. like you can't just play with the things, issues and stuff. You're playing part and then like interesting. So the investment got all of them have a background in
Nope.
Double the email message.
Did you?
Yes, I have.
I haven't.
So it's with regards to being an assistant museum curator, but they declined it, but I haven't specified as to why.
So you, in your email, you give me the details.
No, I didn't.
You just give me the details.
So should I have to resubmit it
yes,
to her,
please.
And then she can actually do that?
Give me your details first.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So that I understand what actually happened.
Okay.
So I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay,
for thank you. Have a beautiful day, Heather. Thank you, Lynn. See you on the trip. do you want to chat? Oh, you're waiting on the chair. Oh, okay.
I'm literally having coffee or something.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm trying. Okay, let me just get hold of your shot. So is your meeting done now?
Yeah.
Which meeting have you gone to today?
Public account.
Public account?
Opa.
I've never done BM before.
Yeah.
That's like, oh my god, I just felt so uninteresting. Thank you, you're like a lot, sir, but thank you, Mickey. Take that and just go for it. You go, wait on you because it seems like no one's eating yet. Number two.
Life never goes on when you press it.
Okay. Because the door is not working.
No, no.
You have to try
the
other one.
It's the same thing as one hour.
This lift on the right here is actually better.
I'm so glad we
at
least I would have put something wrong in. Okay, thank you.